welcome to another Cup of Joe podcast on this Friday, November the 8th. And wherever you are, whenever you are listening to this, I wish you God's grace. I wish you God's life. I wish you God's goodness. I am grateful that you are with me today to break open these readings for this 32nd Sunday in Ordinary Time. We continue to move through this liturgical year. We are almost at the end of it. But we'll talk more about that next week or the week after. For today, we've got two wonderful readings. Stories that I suspect you're going to remember because they are memorable stories. But they invite us to an action that is a scary and wonderful place to be. But we're going to get there, okay? So what are we going to hear today? We're going to hear the first reading. It's out of 1 Kings. That's in what many call the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures. 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 10 to 16. Then we're going to hear out of the Gospel, Mark chapter 12. Again, we're almost going to pick up exactly where we left off. Maybe a verse or three that we're skipping over, but Mark chapter 12, verses 38 to 44. I'll set the scenes a little bit after we've heard the word. But I bring those out just in case there are those among you who like to read along with while I'm reading scripture. So again, as always, brothers and sisters, before we jump into the word of God, I invite you, however it is you do it, to settle yourself, to allow yourself to hear the word of God well. And prepare yourself that that word may find a home within you, that we may live it out well as God invites us to, okay? So however it is you settle yourself to hear and prepare yourself for this word, I invite you to do that at this time. Okay, now let's break open God's word together. A reading from the first book of Kings. In those days, Elijah the prophet went to Zarephath. As he arrived at the entrance of the city, a widow was gathering sticks there. He called out to her, "Please, bring me a small cupful of water to drink." She left to get it, and he called out after her, "Please bring along a bit of bread." She answered, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked. There is only a handful of flour in my jar and a little oil in my jug. Just now, I was collecting a couple of sticks to go in and prepare something for myself and my son. When we have eaten it, we shall die." Elijah said to her, "Do not be afraid. Go and do as you propose, but first make me a little cake and bring it to me. Then you can prepare something for yourself and your son. For the Lord, the God of Israel, says, 'The jar of flour shall not go empty, nor the jug of oil run dry, until the day when the Lord sends rain upon the earth.'" She left and did as Elijah had said. She was able to eat for a year, and he and her son as well. The jar of flour did not go empty, nor the jug of oil run dry, as the Lord had foretold through Elijah. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, brothers and sisters, as always, if there was an idea, an image, a thought, a phrase, a word, if something stuck out to you or struck you during the reading of that, I invite you, brothers and sisters, stick with that. Just chew on it. Allow the Spirit of God to work through that image, that idea, that phrase, that thought. Because that is one of the ways God continues to be active in our world and in our life and in your particular life, right here, right now. And if that means turning off the podcast, please do so. Let the Spirit of God work within you. Now let's move along and see what the gospel has for us, shall we? A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. In the course of his teaching, Jesus said to the crowds, "Beware of the scribes who like to go around in long robes and accept greetings in the marketplaces, seats of honor in synagogues, and places of honor at banquets. They devour the houses of widows, and, as a pretext, recite lengthy prayers. They will receive a very severe condemnation. He sat down opposite the treasury and observed how the crowd put money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow also came and put in 2 small coins worth a few cents. Calling his disciples to himself, he said to them, "Amen, I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the other contributors to the treasury, for they have all contributed from their surplus wealth. But she, from her poverty, has contributed all she had, her whole livelihood." My friends, the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. See what I said? These stories are great, but our God invites us to a place that is both scary and wonderful. Because he invites us, brothers and sisters, to have the faith of the widow of Zarephath and the faith of the woman, the widow, the old lady with the 2 coins. Let's talk about that. So, brothers and sisters, it's often talked about that the opposite of faith is doubt. I'm not smart enough to say whether that is or that's not true. That may indeed be true. I don't think doubt is necessarily a bad thing. I think that there are moments that every one of us struggle with it. And I think to be able to bring that to our God and allow God to work within and through that, I think is a holy and good thing. But my hypothesis today is not that the opposite of faith is doubt, but rather the opposite of faith is certainty. Because those things, brothers and sisters, in which we are certain, they don't call anything out of us. They simply are life as normal. I'm quite certain that the sun will rise tomorrow. I'm so certain about that, that I have plans for tomorrow to meet with a friend at 8:15 at a local bakery, to meet with one of my coworkers and invite her to shadow me in the afternoon when we go to these facilities, that they will be there, that the patients will be there, and that this coworker of mine will actually meet with me. I have enough certainty to create a chore list for Saturday to do around the house. I have enough certainty in technology that I'm sitting here with a microphone to my face, and I'm trusting that it will work. I have enough certainty, or had enough tonight when I drove home, that the cars coming at me would stay on the other side of the road. Now, none of those things are certain. There will come a time when that day will not arrive, whether that's because God invites me home, or the sun refuses to shine, or that those nursing facilities may not be there, or that those cars won't stay on the other side of the road. But brothers and sisters, there's enough certainty in our lives, and we place enough certainty there, that we can actually move through our lives without panicking, without being anxious all the time. And that's a holy and good thing. But brothers and sisters, that's not faith. And that's not the faith to which our God invites us, I think, anyway, through our readings today. Our God invites us to a place where we are uncertain what will happen. And we don't know what those events will lead us to. How would we have reacted had we met Elijah and I only had enough flour and oil in my home to feed me and my loved one one more meal and we're going to die? And here comes someone that I don't know, that's a foreigner, that I've never met before, who may or may not be a holy man or may not be a charlatan. I don't know. But he's asking to have some of the bread. Yeah, we're all in the midst of this drought. I know you're hungry, but I know I'm hungry. But this woman has the wherewithal, the trust not only in Elijah, but in the words of Elijah, who says, do not be afraid. That jar of oil, that jug of oil, that jar of flour is not going to run out. She has enough faith to take that leap into the unknown, into that uncertainty, and in doing so meets God and lives in that space for a year. That jar did not go free of flour. That jug did not go free of oil. And Elijah was able to stay present with them, and all three able to eat. In a similar manner, Jesus points out this woman with the two coins, right? Who gives not out of her surplus, like these others are doing, but this person who gives from her poverty, from her whole livelihood, not knowing where that next meal will come from, not knowing what those coins could be used for to help her live tomorrow. She gives out of that place of trust and takes that step into the unknown, and in doing so, meets God, who somehow has taken care of her yesterday, will do so today, and will do so tomorrow. Brothers and sisters, that is the faith to which our God invites us today. Now, I don't think any of this is undermining giving large sums of money or saying long prayers or anything that Jesus is giving the dickens to, not only of the Pharisees and scribes, but also of these who are giving generous amounts. I don't think those are bad things. Jesus is saying, though, they call nothing out of us. Brothers and sisters, I hope that you live within certainties and out of those certainties every day. I hope you place a great deal of certainty in your abilities and in your intellect. I hope you are able to place a great deal of certainty in your spouse or your friends. Consider yourself blessed if you are able. I hope you place enough certainty in the amount of money you're able to have in your bank account or in the borders around the country in which you live. Again, consider yourself blessed. But brothers and sisters, it does not take a great deal of faith to place our trust in those things. I hope we live out of those. I do. But just like if we are going to stay in shape, if we are going to be saints, right? Gosh, we're in November. We're in the month of All Saints and All Souls. We are called to be saints. If we are going to say yes to that calling, just like a great athlete needs to say yes to his or her calling, we need to work out every day in that. And how do we do that? By taking steps not out of only our certainties, but steps into the unknown, where we get to meet our God. How many times, brothers and sisters, did we hear Jesus say to those whom he heals or those who, were fed 5,000 or whatever it is, go, your faith has saved you. It's not a head knowledge. It's not, I don't even know. It's they were able to move in a place of uncertainty and find the healing work or the miraculous nature of our God, whom they did not know before. And that new knowledge, and I don't mean just a head knowledge, I mean a knowledge of our very being, that new knowledge saves them. Brothers and sisters, to the extent that we live out of our certainties, we are not being saved. We're able to move about life, and that's an okay thing, okay? But to the extent that we walk into uncertainties, called by our God, and I think that's an important factor, and see that God meets me there in the midst of the darkness, that's where we're saved. There's a marvelous movie. Now, again, I know, last week I quoted City Slickers, which was like from 1991. I'm going to quote you now, I think, another movie that's like from the 80s, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Yes, I've watched movies in the last 35 or 40 years, and there's other good ones, but these are just the ones that come to my mind when I'm pondering this and chewing on it during the week. But there's a marvelous scene. If you've not seen the movie, please see it. I'm going to give a spoiler. And really, let's be honest. If you haven't seen it to this point, I think it's okay to give a spoiler, because I don't think it was one you were going to go home tonight and watch regardless. So, you know, if you don't want the spoiler, there you go. Turn off the podcast. But it stars Harrison Ford as Indiana Jones and Sean Connery as his father. And it is delightful because their interplay is so good. But there's a scene at the end. So Indiana Jones's father, so Sean Connery, is a man of faith, and he's searching for the Holy Grail. And for reasons I'm not going to go into now, when they come upon the place where they indeed believe the Grail is located, Indiana's father is not able to go and get it. And so Indiana himself has to go. And the last thing Indiana has to do in order to get to this Grail is take what's called this leap of faith. And if you've seen this movie, you already know not only the scene, but the wonderful photography that is part of the scene. This leap of faith, Indiana Jones comes upon a chasm. The chasm is too wide to jump. There's no way he can get across it. It is too far down, the distance to the bottom. You cannot circumnavigate it. You are clearly falling to your death. But you have to take a leap of faith into that open space and trust that in taking that step, our God is going to meet you and hold you up. And you can see the look on Indiana Jones's face, like, I'm going to die. I'm taking a certain step into death. And he takes a step out in and steps on what looks to be air, and he finds solid footing. And at that moment, the camera moves and shows that a bridge is there, that it had been there all the time, but the bridge looks exactly like the firmament, the rock on the other side of the chasm, and so it's unable to be seen. And it was only seen once Indiana took that step and realized there's something there, and he's able to get across the chasm. Brothers and sisters, that is what our God is inviting us to. We are invited, when called by our God, and we need to be women and men of discernment, and that means women and men of prayer, women and men of the gospel, women and men who trust good people around us that we can help discern with. We need to be women and men of discernment of the voice and an invitation of our God. But when that voice and invitation comes, ultimately it is you and I who need to step out into the darkness and trust that our God is indeed already there. And that bridge that we could not see, it is there. It is there. And our God will meet us. And do you know what happens? We are saved in that action. Because we meet this God that we don't meet when we are just simply taking money out of our bank account. Again, not putting that down. But we don't meet our God there. We meet our God in those places of darkness and uncertainty, where we take that step and we say, there you are. You were there the whole time. I just didn't see you. And that saves us. But it takes, brothers and sisters, courage and discernment to do it. We are invited to be women and men of faith. The faith enough to trust the words of someone we didn't even know, like Elijah, and the presence, do not be afraid. Brothers and sisters, I know I've said this before numerous times, but that is the most common phrase in all of Scripture. Why? Because we live in fear. And our God reminds us, I am with you. You may not be able to see me, but take the step. Take the step, and you will. The opposite of faith is not doubt. I think it is certainty. Let's flex those muscles every day so we are able to live and be in the midst of our God and see God and allow that God, that presence, which we were not aware of, to allow that presence to save us somehow this day. Let's pray. Brothers and sisters, we continue through the glorious mysteries. And so we begin in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The second glorious mystery, the Ascension. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell, lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of thy mercy. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, there is one other thing I wanted to say, and I meant to say it earlier. Forgive me, I don't mean to tuck it in here at the end, but I'm going to do that. Some of you out there listening to this right now may feel in the midst of darkness based on what took place Tuesday this week in our country. I get that. I understand that. Here's what I would say. Brothers and sisters, we need to be people of hope. We need to be people of faith that says, no, I don't know what that livelihood looks like anymore. I don't know where that flour and oil and that life sustenance is coming from tomorrow or next week or next month or next year. But I trust that God is there and that God is bigger. We need to be people of hope and faith and light to move out and be voice for those who may not have one. God is there. It may feel darkness, but let's take a step into it and allow our God's presence to save us, capital U, capital S. My friends, be well. God's peace to you.